Leviticus 17. And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Speak to Aharon and his sons, and to all the people of Israel, and say to them, This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. If any one of the house of Israel kills an ox, or a lamb, or a goat in the camp, and kills it outside the camp, and does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to offer it as a gift to the Lord in front of the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guilt shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. This is to the end of the people of Israel, that may bring their sacrifices that they sacrifice in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord, to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. And the priest shall throw the blood on the altar of the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and burn the fat for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So they shall no more sacrifice their sacrifices to goat demons after whom they whore. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. And you shall say to them, Any one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who sojourn among them, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice, and does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from his people. If any one of the house of Israel, or the strangers who sojourn among them, eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Therefore I have said to the people of Israel, No person among you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger who sojourns among you may eat blood. Any one also of the people of Israel, or of the strangers who sojourn among them, who takes in hunting any beast or bird that may be eaten, shall pour out its blood and cover it with earth. For the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, You shall not eat the blood of any creature, for the life of every creature is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And every person who eats what dies of itself or what is torn by beasts, whether he is a native or a sojourner, shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Then he shall be clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his flesh, he shall bear his iniquity.
That's an unusual chapter, right? Kind of, what does it say? First, let's have some comments, okay? Sean.
Verse 4 is talking about here, he's not bringing, basically, you're killing these animals and not bringing it as a sacrifice unto Yahuwah.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like, because I look, jump down to verse 7, it feels like they're playing the holler and sacrificing the demons, so you don't have to do that. This is to be unto the Lord, not to any pagan gods.
We'll talk about that. That's very important.
I know this might sound silly, but the meat is, if you cook meat and it's got blood in it, does that mean that the meat has to be cooked with not medium rare?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, so that's silly.
That's a question beyond my ability.
Okay, I didn't know.
I'm not a cook.
I didn't know.
Eat the meat when someone cooks in front of me. I know. It's more. Yeah. Some people soak the meat in salt water. Yeah. In order to drain it out, and some people don't. I'm not saying you should do this or shouldn't do that. It's basically how I guess you want to do it. Yes?
Where it's talking about killing in the field and not bringing it, is this just talking about things they're sacrificing, or if ever they're going to have meat for dinner? If they're way out in the boonies, how do they...
Right, yeah. It is talk about what's called sacrifice, or that korban. You're bringing something up. Okay? Remember, this is not what you go and have a dinner with people. This is having to do with korban. That is bringing, lifting something up to, in one case, we're here, to God himself. Now remember, let's not get off the subject matter. Because this has to do with what is to be offered to God. All right? No, it's not a special offering. It's how offerings should be done. In general, specifically, it's going to talk about a certain one, specifically. Any further questions? Jeff, over here. Who else had a question?
When they're talking about this goat, weren't they taking that goat outside and washing, giving it to the goat demon?
We'll talk about that today. We have to figure out what that means.
And then also, everything's at the entrance. At the it keeps talking about the entrance door.
Yes.
Come to the entrance. Come to the entrance. I heard that word mentioned quite a bit. So I hope you'd elaborate.
It has to do with karban. That was you offering up.
But only at the entrance door.
No, that's where you go in to do this. Whether you're outside the camp or inside the camp, you're going to give an offering, go to the tabernacle and go through that doorway.
You can go through that entrance.
Well, yes. It's not like David, Yom Kippurim. It's a typical offering. And we learned the first part of Leviticus is that when you give an offering, you're the ones that cut its throat.
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay? You're the ones doing the cutting of the throat, but the blood is what the priest does, and the rest of the entire thing, he finishes it all off.
Oh, okay, because I didn't know if they were at the tents and you couldn't go, they can only come up to the entrance of the door.
No. That's Yom Kippurim. Okay, go during that particular time when the high priest and his sons were being ordained, no one could go there for 7 days. Okay. All right, then we talked about the 16th chapter, which we're not on today, we're on yesterday, and that had to do with only the high priest doing it on the 16th, on the Day of Atonement, at that point and that time only.
Okay, see, it says here, and it says they will bring them to Adonai to the entrance of the tent.
That's right. You bring it to the entrance. That means that's where you're supposed to bring it, to the entrance.
Okay, they can go past in.
But you go back in. You're entering into the tabernacle to give your karban.
Oh, okay. Karban.
This does not have to do with the holy day, Yom Kippurim. Entirely different things that happen. And I went into great detail, two Sabbaths alone, on what Yom Kippurim do. And there's three major things that happens on Yom Kippurim. Yes, Sean.
I see verse 12 and 14 in direct relation to Hebrews 9:22. Without blood, there is no atonement. There's no sacrifice because life is in the
all
blood.
Right, yeah.
Direct related to Messiah.
Because it had to do with life. All right. Okay.
Okay, we read this morning that if the Lord was saying, if you want to eat meat, you can kill it in your house, and
right.
Then you can eat it. You don't have to bring it to...
Correct. That's a different issue.
So this one, it says, if he does not bring it to the camp, to the tabernacle.
We'll go through that.
Why does it say that?
We'll find out, okay?
Okay.
So this chapter is more difficult to understand than probably anything we've saw so far walked in the book of Leviticus. Another question over here, quick. Only got about half hour.
Wouldn't disobeying what our Father tells us in the Scriptures be like false worship? By not?
Similar, yes, but we'll get into that. You're close to where you're at, but I have to explain that. If I have time, I may have to cut this thing off and finish it next week. Any further questions? Oh, yes, we have one more.
When he says you'll be cut off from your people, exactly what is that?
We'll talk about that as well. So you got a lot of questions in this chapter, doesn't it? And this chapter, I tell you, last Sabbath, when I finished the doing in the 16th chapter, I went to the 17th chapter to find out what it's going to present. It really said to me, a not now. I will tell you when I want to tell you what it means. And so I went to Daniel's and Lorianne's house on Erev Shabbat. We had our normal Erev Shabbat, but my mind was constantly on the 17th chapter. And as soon as we got home, I had to sit down, get to that computer, and do a deep research on the 17th chapter. And I don't think I got to bed until 11 or 11:30 that night, last night, because it's an awful lot. And I only got halfway through my studies. I said, I got to get some sleep. And so I did, got up around 7 o'clock this morning, and I sat down there and I studied it again, went through the other part of the finishing of this chapter. And I think I finally have an answer. I think I have an answer. Keep that in mind. I think I have an answer to all your questions. Because, you know, the questions you have asked me, the same questions I asked, in extreme detail. What is this talking about? Every time we go through Leviticus or any place else, basically the Bible, when the words come out and it says there, chapter, verse 1, and Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, every time that statement is there, he's talking about a certain events or certain things. Sometimes it's three or four sentences, and then you come and he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and then some chapters have some, he's saying that three to four times in a chapter. This one, only once. And the 18th chapter, only once. And I said to myself, okay, this is extreme detail. Why is it so important? Why couldn't we just get to the point and go on? Because God spent his time telling Moses something. And he is to tell not only Moses, he's supposed to tell, Moses is supposed to tell Aaron and his sons and the children of Israel, I mean the leadership of Israel. Leaders of the 12 tribes. Now, we're looking back and say, okay, let's put ourselves in that time cycle. Don't put yourself in the 21st century. Don't put yourself where it doesn't not talk about. Put yourself there. They have no homes. There's no running water. There's no garden. There's no great field. There's no harvest at all. Let's put ourselves in that world. Because we're talking about the tabernacle. We're not talking about the temple. So every time we read this section of the Torah section, always remember it's talking about the tabernacle, not the temple. The temple didn't come on the scene until hundreds of years later under King Solomon. All that time, it was just the tabernacle up until Solomon built the temple. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's get ourselves into frame of the time and we find what God is not trying to tell us. He actually did tell us. We just have to ask God, help me to understand. All right? So, the first thing he talks about is what? Killing an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp or who kills it outside the camp. Why would one going to kill a goat, a lamb, or an ox in the camp or outside the camp? What would he want to do that for? Well, verse 4. And does not bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer an offering to Yahweh before the tabernacle of Yahweh, the guilt of blood. Oh. So the object here we see very quickly is that these particular things that they were doing, they were going to, quote, God is saying, do not do what you think I want you to do. Do not kill an offering with and sacrifice the blood. It's not your job. It's the high priest's job. So the first thing we're told here is what happens. Do not offer anything and the carbon to God in the camp or outside the camp. It must be offered at the door entryway unto the house of God, the dwelling place of God. That's the subject matter we're seeing right here quickly. Now, we as human beings in our 20th century, we can kind of say, well, I'm going to give an offering to God, and you give it to somebody else. or you give it to something else. And we say, well, you know, that's an offering I'm giving to God, but by giving it over here instead. Now, I'm not judging one way or the other. That's what I'm saying. We could put ourselves in that boat, right? We say, well, this person needs real serious help. I know the person is anti-God, despises God, but they need help. Therefore, I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give it to God instead. I'm going to give it to them instead. And God will take it as an offering. Well, that's not really what this is talking about. You understand what I'm saying? It's talking about a blood offering. Very, very important. So don't try to connect the 20th century and what you do or what I do to what it's the subject matter about. All right? Any questions on that one? It's about that blood. And he continues on, and he'll be guilty of the blood, and guess what? He's going to have what? Cut off from among his people. Oh, what does that mean? We have to be careful. It's very, 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 very common word in the book Bible, the Bible, and that word of to cut. Cut also means to cut a tree down. You're cutting an off the tree from the ground. It means you're cutting a tree down. You're cutting a piece of material. It's cutting off a piece of material. It's cutting off. It's not in your story. Not you're killing. There's only three or four places in all of the Torah that has to do with execution. The rest of it has a very important statement. Listen to what he said. Cut off from among his people. Now that's a different statement than being cut off, a limb being cut off a tree and something else being grafted onto it. Right? So let's make ourselves clear. The word is to cut, basically. And you have a lot of places in translations that translate that instead of to cut. He says, he'll be cut from among his people. We use that word cut off. Or he might be cut by cut down. You cut a tree down, you cut, and the tree goes down. You're cutting a tree. Something's going to happen to that tree. It's not going to look like a tree anymore. It's going to be moved or be done for building homes, anything you want to use that wood for, which God does not say you can't cut a tree down and cannot make something from it. Because remember, they had to cut wood, to make the structure of the tabernacle, they had it cut wood. Right? So don't get this all confused. The word off is quite often used in a negative sense, but on the other side of it, there are other words in the Bible that has to do, it also has to do, we'll get there today, to cut a covenant. Now, what does that mean, to cut a covenant? We use that language in our own language, right? We're going to cut a contract with so-and-so forth to build my house. Or we sign a contract, right? We make a deal. We're cutting a deal. Is it bad or is it good? Well, if it's good, that's one thing. If it's bad, it's another thing. But nonetheless, you're cutting a deal. I do this, you do that. That's the deal. So you're cutting a deal. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? So let's get back to the subject matter here, because I want to talk about something else. Before I go there, I did want to mention something here that when God said to Noah in the 9th chapter of Genesis, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall flesh cut off by water, be cut by water, eliminated by water in the flood. That word to cut off is there. And well, of course, that's death, right? No, he says no longer are you going to use that method. So we got that picture. He also said to Abraham, all right, by the way, during the days of Yom Kippurim, remember the goat? Actually, as a kid, That's the same word that's used here throughout the 17th chapter. We talk about that kid demon. It's actually kid demon, kid of the goat demon, not the goat, but the kid of the goat demon. All right, we'll get to there in a minute. See if I can't finish this in 20 minutes. Now, verse 5, here is where we hit it. And he is going to make it in. He said he wants them to know, tell the people of, tell Aaron, tell Aaron's sons, and tell the leadership of Israel, they're no longer, that's going to come to an end. Verse 5, it'll come to an end that the children bring their karban, which they offer in the open field, that is, not offering it at the door of the tabernacle. We're talking blood offering. We're not talking about something to munch and eat and have dinner and charcoal with. All right? We're talking about a karban. You're giving it something. The word sacrifice is a hard word in English, but in Hebrew, it just means that what you're lifting up and bringing to God. That's what that whole statement is all about. But he says there is something very unusual about this fifth verse. Which they offer in the open field, no longer do that, that's cut off, we're eliminating that star stuff, that they may bring them to Yahuwah at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, to the priest, to offer them a,
peace offering.
Yes. Not a sin offering. A whole offering. That's addressed in the latter part of the chapter. Not a guilt offering, but a shalomim, a peace offering. This is really odd, isn't it? Don't you think it's odd? Here, the subject matter tells us something about God. What is the subject matter talking about? When you are cutting the throat for blood, it becomes a shalom offering. Because it does take a life of an animal. Also, when you offer a shalom offering, the throat is cut and the blood is spilled on the location where it's supposed to be spilled. Right? Same thing. All right? But he calls it a shalom offering, or a peace offering. Don't you find that weird? Why is it not called, why is it not called a guilt offering? Why isn't it called a sin offering? Correct. It's to give, to have an agreement with, or why would you want to agree with God? To be at peace with God. We'll find later that when you, actually, we don't find later, it's in the book already, we went through it. But when you go through all this process, and you give a shalom offering, and then you violate it, oh, that is not good news. It is no longer accepted. Yes?
It's violating it, not doing it according to how he has commanded.
According to how he has wants it to be done to be established. And we're talking about here a particular blood offering associated with the shalom offering. Not with the sin offering. Not with the guilt offering. Not with the whole offering. Not with any other offering except the one. That's the subject matter, you see, right? You can't remove it from there because that's what's talking about. So we're talking here something that the people were doing and God put an end to it. Okay, what were they doing before? What do you think they were doing before? There was no tabernacle, right? There was nothing there. Nothing was present. There was no altar. There was no mercy seat. There was no curtain. What were they doing? Tammy.
Well, they probably did the way that Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph did, and which would be the head of the household was kind of the priest in a matter of speaking, and so Jacob or Isaac or Abraham, they did their own sacrifices, and they probably would have just done it the same way.
Right? Even Moses set up something to burnt thing on with no tabernacle, with no nothing before. No, she has a point. Okay, listen, she has a point. However, God brought it to an end. What part did he bring to an end? Did he bring to an end what Moses was doing? Did he bring to an end what Abraham was doing? Did he bring to an end what Isaac was doing? Did he bring to an end? No, it's something here. Yes? The location, but we had to find out where the Israelites got that concept. When I had to read this stuff, I had to go to, Goyim information to find out what on earth is this talking about. And it took me aback. Yes?
Is this not a prophecy about Christ? A prophecy saying that they'll
not,
be cut?
Not somewhat, but not exactly, because the offering of the blood of the Messiah was for another issue. We're talking about a shalom offering.
Peace is that Jesus,
we're in agreement now with
God,
God.
Right?
God is in agreement with us because of that offering the Messiah had given. That is his life.
Right. Hasn't that brought peace? Remember he says, right. He's given us an offering that was enmity between God and man. And that was enmity.
But here we're talking about us or them giving something to God.
That doesn't mean us.
I want to move it into the time of Moses, during the time of Aaron, during the time of the Israelites. Now, I stay away from modern times, right? Don't bring this into the point right now. You're going to carry off a God long. Otherwise, I'm off on a tangent. I need to stick with what's here. Now, that's the subject matter we have to address. Why did God bring an end to it? They were giving a shalom offering in the camp and outside of the camp before the tabernacle was put. And now the tabernacle's created now. The tabernacle's present now. All of a sudden now something has to happen. Change the pattern. Yes, Ellie.
Everybody did everything all the time.
You could have what?
You couldn't make a picture. If everybody did this and they did this and they did this and they did this, then it would be like in America. There isn't a picture. Everybody does their own thing. In order to make a picture, wouldn't you have to regulate it establish it?
Let's get on with here. I can't answer your question right now, my dear. Hold on. In this fifth verse, very interesting, we look back up from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way here. We see something about what's called shedding of blood. Right? Has to do outside the camp or inside the camp, but not at the door in the tabernacle itself. And it has to do with this peace offering, this karban shalom offering. All right? We got that picture so far. That's what we see written so far. All right? Now we go on now to the sixth verse. It says, the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar when you bring it at the door. And this is the process by which you're going to do from now on. And the holah and the burnt of fat and the sweet aroma to Yahweh. That's where it's to be done. Something came to an end. What came to an end? Verse 7, very powerful. Did you read it?
Yeah. This is where the false worship comes in.
A specific thing comes in. A specific thing called a hairy goat or a hairy kid. And some of the translations, including a lot of them don't have a good translation. I'm not saying any of them do. Even the Septuagint says, and they shall no longer offer their sacrifices to vain God, after which they were whoring. It shall be a perpetual statute from now on. So they're saying a God. I find it fascinating when you go into the Septuagint. Now that word God is not listed there. It's put in parentheses. But in vain or in vanity or in nothingness had no value. So what they were doing has no value. But it's called, in Hebrew, has to do with what's called a kid of a goat. It has to be associated with two different words, a hairy kid goat. Not a grown kid goat, a hairy kid goat. And so I said, where does this stuff come from? It can be a goat or a buck of anything. And it refers, and some people believe it refers to a demon. That's why some of your translations will have the word demon there. Other translations have the word devils. And what Jeff read today, what did he say? He said the goat. Then he uses the word demon or something else after that. So where do they pick this up from? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a question before, but I think it's been answered.
Oh, okay. So I said before, I think I have an answer. I didn't say I have it. I said, I think I have an answer to your questions. Yes.
Richard, can we bring this up to modern day? When he's telling us not to, to no longer do this anymore, that means we're to come out of the world. We're no longer sacrificing. We're not like keeping Christmas and Easter and Halloween.
You can associate that with anything on the sun you want to associate with. Whether it's Saturday Sabbath, whether it's Sunday Sabbath, whether you worship something that God wants you to worship, yes. You can worship the Sabbath, but not God. Long place. The Sabbath is given to us. That we get to worship ourselves because it belongs to us. We are it. No. You could take the thing that God has created, what man had done time and time and time and time again, and make it a God. Whether it's time, like Christmas, Easter, feast days, you take it for granted and you make it your primary one thing. Wrong sort. Got to go to God. Yes.
Wasn't God, they come out of Egypt and that was the customs of Egypt, so he's teaching them that the patterns that they had in Egypt.
Now we're getting somewhere, because in Egypt.
In Egypt, they had.
Now they were there for 400 years.
Yeah.
They did not know.
Any different.
The God of Abraham. They knew his name, but they didn't know. Because God said to Abraham, I am going to do something with your descendants, Abraham. Do you remember what he said? I got back here somewhere. Where did I put it? Oh, yes. In the 15th chapter of Genesis. Now, you got to put yourself in the shoes of these people. Don't put your shoes in your world.
How long have you been out?
He said to Abram, verse 18 of Genesis, on the same day, Yahuwah cut. That's the very same word, by the way, that's in 16th chapter about cutting off. Told you he cut a covenant. And he cut a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, not to Abraham, I have given this land, you don't have it, Abraham, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Of course, something else happened, didn't it? When were they supposed to get it? Long time ago. He says, I'll do it in the fourth generation. I will do it. But I'll put them in bondage. God said, I will put them there to a nation that will put them into slavery in the last generation. And guess what happened? It happened. During that period of time of those, let's say, 300 years before the last generation was showing up when Moses was almost being killed, remember?
Very interesting boy. Had to be a boy. We won't go there yet today. Very interesting. It talks about that. No, forget what I'm going to say. Where am I at now? 17th chapter, verse 7. We have to do with this thing called, and literally translated, it's a he-goat. Or a he-kid. A hairy he-kid. A hairy goat. So they were doing something that had to do with a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was to be a shalom sacrifice. Not a sin sacrifice. We have to keep that in mind. Now, where do they learn this from? All right. Clark's commentary and James Foster Brown commentary, they gave me somewhat of an answer. I think I have an answer. And I said, I think I have an answer. You got that? He talked about a certain pagan god named Pan who had the shape of, that god had a shape of a goat with two horns sticking out. And they would sacrifice an offering to that particular goat with the two horns. Now don't associate with a living goat. Don't associate with an animal. Associate with an idol. And this particular one, gross as it may sound, had everything to do, I'm sorry, with sex beyond measure. And we kind of say, okay, now stop it. You're going to give a shalom offering to me. This is how you're going to do it. You will no longer do that anymore. Period, point blank. Which leads you to do something. It says whoredom or adultery. It's going to lead you the wrong direction. You have been led all this time because you're so accustomed to it. That's the way you do that. That's the shalom offering you've been offering to this pagan god. And guess what? His name was Pan. And guess what? He looked like a goat. With horn. Two horns, like a goat. I saw the picture and I said, oh my, forget it. Don't want to go in detail on that one. So he brings it to a halt. Now, what happens if you decide to do it anyway? Cut off from God. From his, the person's, people. What did the people, what were the people given by God? What were they given?
What do you mean, what were they given?
What were the people of Israel given?
The
covenant with Abraham. Not the one on the mountain. The covenant with Abraham. No, there's a difference between those two. Apostle Paul said that that was added because of sin and transgression, because that's what they came out of. They came out of Egypt with sin and transgression. That's all they knew. They had no other pacts. They were ignorant of it. How many times have you been ignorant of something you didn't know was against God's law?
Oh, big time.
Big time. What did God do about it? Just kill you?
No.
No, he cuts you off, but then all of a sudden he cut something else off for you to come. He cut off the lies. He cut off the deception. And he started teaching the truth. And you started moving toward the truth. So in a sentence, the biblical says that God can use the cut to stop bad things from happening. When bad things don't happen to you, where does that leave you? In the presence of God. Okay? So we're looking at this thing, and we're saying, okay, what a horrible picture. And I got to call it quits here real quick. But you understand what I'm talking about? It had to do with the shalom offering. That's the only thing you understood. Now, he says, it will come to an end. Now you do that karban, that offering which you gave to this demon goat, or not maybe this goat, hairy goat guy. You're no longer going to do that. If you do, you're cut off from the covenant that he had with Abraham. How would you like to be cut off from the covenant of Abraham?
Now we think we should be not be caught up. We're caught up. We don't be caught off with the Mosaic thing. We don't be caught off with that part. We don't want to be caught off from the time when God gave this a covenant to the house of Israel. But what was the house? What was that covenant for? Why did God introduce that covenant during Moses' time? Apostle Paul says so. It was added because of. It was added because of. But the original covenant never stopped. He made an agreement with Abraham, and Abraham, he's going to fulfill his will to Abraham. Yeah. This is a process. When you start reading everything about the house of Israel coming out of Egypt, you see a pattern exactly how God works to fulfill his will, to fulfill his promise. When we first started reading the book of Exodus, right? And it says that God remembered the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now he's going to institute it. And he calls them out. He instituted it. How did he cut off the house of Egypt? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things cut off. Cut from the house of Israel. Where were they going to go? Where were they going to go?
They didn't even know.
If you had it happen and you were there physically with them, you'd be terrified, scared to death. You'd be so terrified. You would say, Moses said, we're going to go. They say, yeah, okay, Moses, let's go. We're getting, you want to put blood on my door? Yeah, I'll put the blood there. Yeah, I'll put the blood there. Yeah. Wait, what am I going to do? Oh, yeah, I'll eat a lot of bread. They were not joyous. They were not happy. They were terrified. Death was going to come that night. But death was cut off from them. Because of the blood. Okay. It was, in a sense, shalom blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was a shalom blood. Because that cut stopped God's and said, the blood stopped God's killing. So God is now at peace. The shalom. We know that that blood of that lamb or that kid goat represented the blood of his son. And now is to give, God is giving them an opportunity. I'm at peace with you. I have many things to teach you now. When every one of you in your world, in your life, when you came to reality or truth, something was removed from you. And I tell you, I know, talked to many of you, you don't know how to handle it. You didn't know how to handle it. You didn't know how to handle it with your mom, your dad, your brother, your sisters, your aunt, your uncle, even your business partner, and even maybe, you know, the one who brought in the bread to keep you alive. Gone. Now, was that a joyous time? It was hard. But where are you now? You're at shalom with God. Because you accepted the offering that God gave as a shalom offering. His son. So now we relate the best that we can understand. The latter part of this chapter, I want to get to the bit that has to do with the whole offering. What is a whole offering? It's something you give totally and completely. You give of yourself and you give of that animal totally and completely to God. It doesn't belong to you. And of course, we already read, it must be a good quality. No flaws in it. He says, if you're going to do that, and you do the very same thing, verse 9, and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle, he'd be caught off from among his people. Now, the whole offering, you will not do it in the camp or outside the camp. Don't do it in your house, and don't do it outside your house. You do it in front of me. You do it in my presence. That's what this subject matter is about. And we look at these things, and then the latter part about
cutting, if you go out there, verse 13, another issue here about when you hunt and you catch an animal or a bird, what are you going to do? You're supposed to do something with that blood. And cover it. And cover it. I don't know. I've never been on a hunting trip at all. So I can't tell you whether the person who does hunting, when he kills the animal, cuts the throat, does he let the blood, and does he bury it in dirt? She says yes, because her father did it quite often. For why? It's the life is in the flesh. And so we're looking at the shalom offering, and we're looking at the whole offering, but we're looking at one thing. The life is in the flesh. That life was not only an atonement for us, it also was the shalom offering that God gave to us. So when you kill an animal, do it in remembrance of the shalom offering of my son that I gave you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It may sound weird. It may sound out of place. But he says now, you're not to eat that blood, and you'll be cut off. Wow. Now we say, well, blood, repulsive. Well, of course, it should be repulsive to you, to tell the honest truth. But it has to do with something more important. Has to do with the chapter starts with the shalom offering. The cut and the blood is filled in certain places, in certain locations, within the tabernacle, before God. And you're at peace with God. And God's at peace with you. Yes.
Does covering have to do with the mercy seat?
No, that's on day of Yom Kippurim.
Okay.
Yes. But it has to do with the mercy seat, correct. Every offering, everything has to do anything with the holy days, always centers around one being. And that is Yahshua himself. And every exact location, every incident happened to take place in all the holy days, no matter what it is directly related to the Son of God. Not to people. Not to what you do or what I do, but what God did. And what his Son did. Everything centers around that preeminent person in your life and my life. And so he's saying, don't abuse the shalom offering. Don't take it for granted. That has no value and no purpose. I gave you it. It was my son. All right. And the latter part of 15th chapter, don't ask me why. It's there. Every time I see a dead animal, I never think about, you know, cutting it off and eating it. But he says, if you do, guess what? You're unclean until the evening. You got to work. If you don't wash your clothes, though, you don't clean yourself up. By the way, you're still what? You will bear his guilt. Oh, that's a little different than bear his uncleanness. Oh, now he has to go through a process of killing and getting cleaning up the guilt offering.